105 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Stock futures up overnight after President Trump announced a trade deal with Europe days before the August 1st deadline that could have prompted a massive trade war.
Although the tariffs are much lower than the 50% Trump had threatened, experts say prices will still rise on popular European products that previously had low or no tariffs, including French perfume, German cars, and the EU's largest export to the U.S., pharmaceuticals.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio on the 15% tariffs on European goods. Extreme temperatures on the way again this week for more than 130 million Americans. Severe storms and the heat leading to more than 1,200 flight cancellations and 9,000 delays on Sunday. As Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu insists there is no starvation in Gaza, his government has opened up corridors, three of them again, for the delivery of humanitarian aid in Gaza. A stabbing in Traverse City at the Walmart left 11 people wounded in Michigan, the suspect a 42-year-old man. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. State lawmakers are renewing their push for a task force to study the racial disparity in missing and murdered women and girls. A study published last year found black women between age 25 and 44 were six times more likely to die by homicide than white women across the country. State Representative Sheila Stubbs authored the bill that was introduced on Friday, which would create a 17-member task force to study the issue. The task force would present their final report along with solutions to reduce gender violence and increase safety by December of 2026. With Governor Evers officially announcing he will not seek a third term, the Democratic primary field has already begun to take shape. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez officially launched her campaign for governor in 2026 on Friday morning, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he will be taking steps towards entering the race over the next few weeks. State Senator Kelda Royce, Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, Attorney General Josh Call, and former Democratic State Party Chair Ben Wickler have also been discussed as potential candidates. The Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa recently celebrated the completion of an expansion project at the Bad River Health and Wellness Center. Community members gathered for a ribbon-cutting ceremony for the expansion on July 18th, marking the end of the 65,000-square-foot expansion. The $32 million project saw the addition of office and clinic space for a variety of uses, including physical therapy, chiropractic services, and dental and vision care. The expansion project also included a new gym, pool, and workout area. A former Rice Lake woman will go to trial on charges of felony homicide by negligent operation of a vehicle after entering a not guilty plea in Barron County Circuit Court. 56-year-old Patricia Cronquist is accused of passing vehicles in a construction zone on Highway 53 near Haugen last August, causing a fatal head-on collision that led to the death of 71-year-old Ira Luplow. A two-day trial was scheduled for November 24th at a hearing on Thursday. Cronquist is facing up to 10 years in prison and a $25,000 fine if convicted. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Showdown at AmFam Field. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers and the Cubs tonight in Milwaukee. The battle for first place. Both teams tied for the NL Central after the Brewers beat the Marlins 3-2 thanks to a walk-off RBI in the ninth by Blake Perkins, FanDuel, Wisconsin.
Perkins, center field.
Perkins now back after missing half the season with a fractured shin bone.
It's been a long, long road, and this is the middle of the season for a lot of these guys, and I'm kind of coming in late, so it's just great. Great to come through for the guys and just appreciating these moments a little bit more.
NFL training camp in Green Bay. The Packers now in full pads.
Now we're talking about real football. These guys are still in their underwear out there, so.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the upper 80s this afternoon. It will be muggy with a heat index in the upper 90s today. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms will drop into the mid-60s. Tomorrow, a few scattered thunderstorms with a high in the upper 70s to near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Joe Thomas grew up in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and had Hall of Fame football careers with the Badgers and Cleveland Browns. So what's his passion now? Well, join us Tuesday when Joe Thomas sits down with Brady Ewing and me for a special on-location show from Six Springs Farm, the home to Hall of Fame beef. Catching up with Joe Thomas, Tuesday. You're not going to want to miss it.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Civic Media News Director Shally Pittman will be joining us to break down all of the news that happened over the weekend. Nothing will happen. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, July 28th, 2025. It is another beautiful morning to have you here up north. It feels good to be back up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or listening to or watching us on all of those other platforms out there, Facebook and YouTube and podcast and so much more. Thank you for starting your day and your week right here. I got a question for you. This is still better than 20 below zero, right? I mean, I'm just trying to put in perspective the fact that it's going to be another hot day. And look, I would love 70s, you know, or low 80s. 90 gets a little rough sometimes, but I hate below zero. I hate below zero so much that I'm very good with putting up with another day like this before we get a bit of a cool down. And Brittany Merlot, hopefully back from EAA Air Venture, will tell us more about it an hour from now. I know somebody else who's ready to be out of the sun for a while. That would be Parker Olson, producer of this fine radio program, who's down in Madison Studio A2, where I'm no longer pestering him in person. Parker, how are you? How was your weekend?
I'm doing pretty good, Pat. I've got to be honest with you. On Friday, you know I get up early for the show, believe it or not, since it's early morning show.
It's a job requirement, yes.
Yes. So I get up early, you know, do the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have time because of the stuff I had to do at home. I didn't have time for a nap before I had to go to work.
You needed a nap.
I thought I was working a softball game.
Uh-oh.
Turns out I was working a baseball game, which is longer than a softball game.
Yes.
So I was not thrilled when I got to the ballpark on Friday night. But I was very thrilled that the Mallards walked off the game in the ninth inning and did not require extra innings.
Ah, yes.
Because I was very worried I was going to have to be there for significantly longer than I wanted to be, which was already longer than I wanted to be.
But you were there longer Saturday and Sunday.
I was. Doubleheader both days. If you're watching on the live stream, you can see a bit of a line there on my neck.
See, now Parker's camera down in Madison A2 is a little washed out. We haven't color balanced it or whatever we have to do. So Parker looks a little washed out. So you can even then see the tan line. That's pronounced.
That's pretty bad.
I think on a regular camera that would look downright painful.
I don't know if it's red. I have a pretty good farmer's tan in general.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, no, it ain't pretty.
No, so there was a lot of working going on there for you.
How was your weekend, though? I know you were kind of bouncing around.
Well, of course, Friday morning was all busy up in Oshkosh with the news that Governor Evers would not be running for a third term. And so, yeah, we had a great time in Oshkosh, but then bailed out right at the end of the show to head down to American Family Field and take in the Brewers game. It was a Friday afternoon game against Miami. Met up with one of my daughters and her family, the three-year-old and the six-year-old, and had a great time. By and large, I mean, you know, you're bringing two little kids to a baseball game. So what was your first question to me when I mentioned I was at the Brewer game? You asked how I liked, you know, the event afterwards, right?
Yeah, that was the day of the home run derby.
The alumni home run derby, yeah. No idea. By the time we got to the end of the game, we were desperate for a playground to take them to, and there had been a children's playground out in the right field corner, where we also saw there was some construction going on. Like they're adding like another, I don't know what that's going to be, a little restaurant or something up there.
Yeah.
But we get up there behind that area, and of course there is no playground because there's construction going on behind the scenes as well. So then we had to look all over the stadium. We finally found the playground, and at that point the game was wrapping up, and we thought, well, let's, you know, some folks are going to be heading home. Others are going to stick around for the derby. Let's go. So we did, because the kids were ready to go. They know nothing about a home run derby. They never would have sat still through all of that.
No.
And we headed up to Sheboygan, where we stayed Friday and Saturday nights, and got to Sheboygan just in time to see the end of the home run derby.
Hey!
And the very notion of trying to keep two little kids in line for that long was just too much to bear. But we did get to see all of the 25 different Brewers players from the 25 different years of Miller Park / American Family Field. And, you know, all kinds of ovations as people came out, you know, and got, you know, your Ryan Braun, your Corey Hart's, things like that.
Can I ask, what was the reception to Ryan Braun? Because within my household, he's kind of a meh figure.
Oh, no. It was good.
Yeah?
Okay. Oh, yeah. You know, some were a bit louder and more heartfelt. And I think some of it was the personal connection you make. When T-Plush came out.
Oh.
Who didn't? Nigel Morgan did not play for the Brewers that long, but there was that connection there. And so there was a big cheer there and for some of the other players. Didn't win that game. Didn't win the game Saturday. Was starting to get a little concerned that we were building a losing streak going on here, but the Brewers managed to salvage it yesterday and avoid the sweep in walk-off style in the bottom of the ninth. It was very exciting. I'd listened to that the whole way home. Because we had a thing in Manitowoc as well over the weekend. And so the whole drive home yesterday from Manitowoc featured listening to the Brewers on the radio, the way it was meant to be, of course.
Of course.
And a very exciting game, very close game all the way through. So a good family gathering, a good baseball game, a good road trip with the show in Madison and Oshkosh. But I'll tell you, there is nothing tastes as good as that first cup of home-brewed coffee or whatever it is that your favorite creature comfort is when you get home, since you're not a coffee drinker. But, oh, the home coffee tastes absolutely fabulous this morning.
No place like home. There's no place,
no place like home.
Like,
no. We talked about this the other day. The hotel coffee, it's just not going to cut it, you know. Let's see. Cassandra puts on YouTube, we also struggle in our house with Brawny. I will say he's higher on the list than Aaron Rodgers these days.
Yeah.
Yep. Noted, Cassandra. She says 100 degrees in the shade. You'll find me hiding in my house with my struggling AC. And Alicia says, yes, this is way better than below zero. I am absolutely not a winter person.
Oh.
So we're definitely putting things in perspective here. So that's a good thing. And Alicia notes that she got some absolutely beautiful photos from EAA over the last week, she says. So nice. There you go. I will say that on the Up North News social media feed, head over to Facebook or wherever you follow us, you will see that we've put up somebody's video. Yes, we have permission to use it of the fireworks and the drone show that was put on a couple of different nights in Oshkosh. And it is just spectacular viewing. So head over to Up North News on Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, and go looking for that. Coming up on the program this morning, we'll talk in a bit about how one way Republicans could start winning more elections statewide in Wisconsin would be to stop trying to rig them. It's a process that began back in 2015 when they dismantled the nationally acclaimed Government Accountability Board for getting a little too close to learning about what Scott Walker was doing during the recall race. And so they scrapped it and replaced it with a commission intentionally designed for gridlock. And now, one of the Republican candidates for governor wants to get rid of even the commission, as well as continue spreading some false talking points about how elections are run right now in Wisconsin. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes here. With so much that divides the parties in Washington, Senator Tammy Baldwin has a bipartisan proposal that any rational member of Congress should feel comfortable supporting: better testing for contaminated drinking water in rural communities. Up North News Selena Heller, Up North News reporter Selena Heller, will tell us about stories she's working on, including one more reminder of how total reproductive care saves lives. And we'll talk to Dr. Kristen Lyerly about that this morning as well. Author Laura Bird is coming around to have some book recommendations that celebrate and promote a connection to nature, covering different genres and ages through books that are written by Wisconsinites and other Midwesterners on this World Nature Conservation Day. We will also check in with Civic Media friends Jimmy Cuska, John Agordi, and Jane Matinere. That's a lot to do over a three-hour period, and attendance is not mandatory. You don't have to sit still next to your radio for the next 2 hours and 45 minutes. So if you have to miss some of this, here's the thing that you do. Subscribe to this show as a podcast as well. Head over to Spotify or Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, and get a subscription to the show. It's free. Just follow it. And then say, pick your episodes to listen to, pick your episodes to download. I typically do 3 episodes that I listen to, or maybe 5. And that way they're there. And if you miss something, you want to come back and you want to listen to Laura Bird or Dr. Lyerly or whatever the case may be, it's right there. So head to Spotify or Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow the show that way. We will be talking in a bit about something that candidate Josh Shulman had to say about elections in Wisconsin. So I wanted to tease that again because it was the thing that stuck out at me most as I was looking at some of the headlines over the weekend. I mean, granted, a lot of it was about Governor Evers not running, and we certainly have reaction to that on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. But it is going to be time to look ahead here, time to look at the candidates that are declared and the ones who may be running soon. But it is some of what is already being said that is already getting attention as far as showing the difference between those who want to serve the voters and those who simply want to win elections and gain power. So we'll have more to say about that in just a bit. Now back to that Brewer game here at 6:17 right now on this Monday morning. It was Blake Perkins who singled home the winning run in the bottom of the ninth as the Brewers rallied to beat Miami 3-2 on Sunday. Milwaukee had been down 2-1, but scored in each of the final 2 innings to avoid the sweep. The Brewers have been swept just once this season, and that was that opening series of the season at Yankee Stadium. Jackson Churio doubled twice. He now has a 20-game hitting streak going on. There are some other 20-game hitting streaks in Brewers history. There was Davey May in 1973. There was Ryan Braun in 2011. There was Cecil Cooper in 1980. And there was Corey Hart, who had 2 20-game hitting streaks, one in 2007 and one in 2010. And, of course, the record for the Brewers is that Paul Molitor 39-game hitting streak back in 1987. Those of us of a certain age remember just how much excitement was building as he went past 30, into the 30s. Was so close to 40, was chasing Pete Rose, was chasing Joe DiMaggio, and again, still has that franchise record, 39-game hitting streak. So with the win, the Brewers remain tied for first in the National League Central with the Chicago Cubs, and it is the Cubs who come to town starting this evening. 6:05 is the pregame this evening and tomorrow evening on stations in Richland Center and Oshkosh. We're seeing Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward, 6:05 this evening, 6:05 tomorrow evening, and then Wednesday is a day game with the pregame on Wednesday starting at 12:35. So a big 3-game series is ahead with the Chicago Cubs for control of the National League Central Division. You are not going to want to miss that. Coming up, we will be talking to Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and we will be setting up some of what they say versus what they mean when it comes to candidates running for governor in 2026. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported last fall that Maine voters approved ballot question 1, limiting contributions to super PACs spending money in state elections. It passed with massive voter support, but like the state's foreign influence ban, was ruled as likely unconstitutional. That's what organizers hoped would happen. The ballot question reads, do you want to set a $5,000 limit for giving to political action committees that spend money independently to support or defeat candidates for office? The act also required super PAC donors to be disclosed. A First Circuit Federal District Court ruled July 15th that both provisions violated free speech protections and pointed to the Citizens United, Buckley v. Vallejo, and other past U.S. Supreme Court decisions. Harvard Law professor Lawrence Lessig argues that large contributions to PACs risk quid pro quo corruption of supported candidates, even if a candidate isn't directly speaking with the super PAC. Elon Musk's America PAC and crypto industry super PAC's support of Donald Trump are recent examples. Lessig said in 2023, when the initiative was announced, that it was designed to force the U.S. Supreme Court to answer whether contributions to super PACs can be regulated by states in the same way state candidate contributions are limited. The case will next be appealed in the First Circuit, then could reach the U.S. Supreme Court in late 2026. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You are watching us on Facebook or YouTube. Of course, you know the comment section is right there for a comment or a question or a suggestion about the show or a thank you, as we get from Jim in Brookfield, who says, good morning, Pat and Parker. My weekend started out great Friday evening when I learned we had won the free ticket Friday contest. My wife and I are ecstatic and will be going to the Cubs game with the Brewers Wednesday and two other diehard baseball fans. Thank you, Civic Media. From Jim in Brookfield. Well, you're very welcome, Jim.
Yeah,
that was a nice
note.
Thank you. Yeah. I love getting that. It's nice to know these free ticket Fridays, they work.
That's
people
true.
Win the free tickets.
They do,
And then they go to the game. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we're glad that we could bring a little joy to one of our morning show listeners. That feels really good. Hey, we also have a weekend newsletter. It includes our question of the week, and you can sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. And this week we're asking, well, remember how we talked on the morning show the other day to State Senator Kelderoys and Representative Ryan Spouty about cryptocurrency and making sure that the ATMs in Wisconsin that deal with crypto abide by a certain set of rules. And it led to this question. What do you think of crypto overall? And I give you four answers. A, I'm good with it. I believe it's part of the future of money and we can put proper safeguards in place. B, I'm a maybe. I've learned a little about it, but I can't say it's a good or bad thing till I learn more. C is I don't know at all. Count me among those who know almost nothing about it. And then finally, D, I don't like it, either because I'm convinced it's a scam or I'm just skeptical enough. I don't think our government and our dollars should be tied in any way to crypto because even consumer guardrails can be undone. So those four choices were given to our Sunday morning newsletter readers. Again, sign up at upnorthnewswi.com and let us know more about what you think. Okay, let's get over to something that was noticed over the weekend about a comment made by Washington County Executive Josh Shulman, who's running for governor. He said in a story that Jesse O'Point put up in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, he said, quote, "I think seriously looking at whether the Wisconsin Elections Commission model or former Government Accountability Board model should be in existence at all is a conversation we need to have." Shulman also said the state should, quote, "look at the timing and process of purging the voter roll lists and whether or not we should be hand counting ballots at the end of the night," end quote. And he said he'd like to see more equity in access to voting across municipalities. Okay, we've only got a short time, but let's break down as much of that as we can. The oversight, purging voter rolls, late night ballot counting, and equity in access. All four of these points provide noteworthy illustrations of how Republicans have approached elections since the Walker era and into the Trump era. An approach summed up best as, you don't have to win on ideas if you cheat on running elections. Number one, oversight. For that, we have to go way back to 2001 and what's known as the caucus scandal in Wisconsin. It's when we learned the extent to which there was abuse of the system by both parties. And yes, this one is actually a both-side scandal. It's the aftermath of how it was handled that shows the differences today. In the caucus scandal, you know, the caucuses are the Assembly Democrats, the Senate Democrats, the Senate Republicans, the Assembly Republicans. Each of those caucuses, they do their political work outside of the building, outside of the state capitol. But it was learned that these caucuses were doing their work on the taxpayer dime inside the capitol. And so it was time to do something about it. And that's what led to the creation of the Government Accountability Board, or GAB. And I was one of the legislators who voted for its creation after taking office. Instead of oversight by politicians or bureaucrats, the GAB was made up of retired judges. It was independent. It was working. It was working too well for Scott Walker. Fast forward to the early 2010s when the GAB was looking into reports that the Walker campaign, as it was fending off a 2012 recall election, violated campaign rules about coordinating with outside, supposedly independent political groups. Well, Republican legislators responded by abolishing the GAB in 2015, saying it has been biased against Republicans. In much the same way, that's like saying police are biased against criminals. If you don't want to be investigated for potential campaign law violations, stop breaking the law or engaging in conduct that appears like you may be breaking the law. But in this case, Republicans got rid of the GAB, and the Republicans who were then Supreme Court justices got rid of the laws they were accused of skirting. So when you ask why campaigns have become so expensive, it's not just the Citizens United decision by right-wing justices on the U.S. Supreme Court that got us here. So did conservatives who controlled the Wisconsin legislature, the Supreme Court, and the governor's office. So what did they create to take the place of the GAB? Well, that would be the current Wisconsin Elections Commission, made up of six members, three Republicans, three Democratic members. Gridlock often followed, just as designed when you create something with three and three. The commission also hired an administrator, and current administrator Megan Wolf is a nationally acclaimed manager. So needless to say, when Donald Trump started lying about the 2020 election being rigged, Republicans did their damnedest to try to get Wolf fired and so far have failed. Now along comes Josh Shulman saying maybe neither the current commission nor the old GAB needs to exist at all, which makes you wonder who would be in charge of elections. On purging voter files, well, we've seen how a few years back a conservative legal group started asking judges and the state Supreme Court to purge voter rolls based on information that was far from ironclad reliable. And fortunately, that has failed by and large. Late night ballot counting. Well, that's not Josh Shulman's first shot at the city of Milwaukee. and we've explained repeatedly why there is late-night ballot counting and how Republicans in the legislature stood in the way of a solution to it. And when he says equity in access of voting, I'd like to know more of what he means, because it sounds to me like he means there should be one drop box in every municipality, one drop box in a small town, one drop box for the entire city of Milwaukee. That's what I read into it, and I'd love to hear his thoughts on it coming up a little later. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, not that far away. First, the Midwest Farm Report here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Decade of the Women. What does that have to do with ag economics? Thank you for joining me with the Midwest Farm Report this Monday morning. I'm Kylie Allen. A conversation about the benefit of women in agriculture is coming after this.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
Dr. David Cole is a professor of agriculture and applied economics at Virginia Tech. He says the increase of women in agriculture has and will continue to benefit our industry.
I really feel that one of the things is the ownership and the management of businesses by female. It brings an outside-the-box thinking type of mindset, and it just brings what I call innovation. And so I'm seeing half of the entrepreneur classes at Virginia Tech, half are women now. In agriculture, where we're dealing with food, fiber, and fuel, and where we're dealing with proactive health versus reactive health, it is going to be a critical, critical element.
That's Dr. David Cole along with us. He's a professor of agricultural and applied economics at Virginia Tech. He says the 2030s to the 2050s will be the decades of the women in ag. Stick around. I've got a look at the markets after this.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Kylie Allen with the Midwest Farm Report, here taking a look at your markets. Ahead of the weekend, cash corn closed at $3.99.5, down 2.25. New crop corn closed at $4.19, down 1.75. Cash soybeans closed down 5.5 at $9.98.75. New crop soybeans closed at $10.21, down 3.25. New crop wheat closed down 3.25 at $5.38.25. Moving on to the dairy markets, 40-pound block cheese closed at $1.64, down 0.5. AA butter closed at $2.46.5, up 4.5. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the upper 80s this afternoon. It will be muggy with a heat index in the upper 90s today. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms will drop into the mid-60s. Tomorrow, a few scattered thunderstorms with a high in the upper 70s to near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
Matt Nair on air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe,
the founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week, Mr. Paul Vandenplas.
The Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Ben Giles, founder of Laughable Productions and the funniest person in Oshkosh contest. Then, If Walls Could Talk host and podcaster Mike Siegel joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights 6 till 8.
We've got a busy program for tomorrow lined up for you already. We'll talk to dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser from up in Lincoln County, along with Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. We'll talk to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. We'll talk to Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 up in Rhinelander. We'll talk to Chad Holmes. We will have our Way Up North segment as well. All that plus much more. That's Tuesday's show here on These Mornings, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. But right now, the thing that powers us is straight-up sunshine from Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who's had a good weekend, wasn't it? So last I saw you, you were sitting in a field of lavender.
It was a delightful weekend. We went up to Washington Island. Have you been to Washington Island?
No, I have not.
Oh, Pat. It is such a great little excursion right here in Wisconsin. It's like a little piece of paradise, and it was peak lavender season. There's a beautiful lavender farm up there. There's a wonderful beach. It's a throwback. It's like going back in time, and people are relaxed and happy. It's delightful.
But you can take your car up there, right?
You can. There's a ferry.
Okay. The reason I ask is it kind of sounds like you're describing Mackinac Island, and that has been a bone of contention in our family when it comes to vacations, because three members of our family love Mackinac Island, and one member of the family, who is not a big horse fan, is less enamored with Mackinac Island, and for some reason, I guess I have not been invited back. Sherry and the girls will go, but apparently I had too much to say about why we even have horses anymore. So
it is not like Mackinac. It is not okay. The horses. Like, you can take your car. We rented bikes. Mm-hmm. It is just the pace is different. I think you'd like it, Pat.
I think I would too. And it's one of those things that Sherry will say, and we all have something like this. There's something in your backyard that you just haven't done. Mm-hmm. And for Sherry, it's Door County. I mean, she's from Manitowoc County and just hasn't gotten up there much at all. And we keep saying one of these days, one of these weekends, that's going to be one of our getaways, is just an entire Door County getaway. And Washington Island's going to be a nice part of it at some point.
I grew up in Kaukauna, and I hadn't been to Door County until I was an adult. Mm-hmm. I mean, how wild is that?
Well, I think, you know, as you're growing up, you hear about it being a touristy area, and so you assume it's not for you. But we can be tourists in our own state.
We can. And we are. And it was delightful.
Oh, yes. That's great. Yes. And so while you were away on Friday, we had State Representative Lee Snodgrass in from Appleton on Friday morning. And she's always delightful to talk to about some of the issues that are happening there. So I'm glad the weekend got a good start for everybody. So yeah, that was nice.
But it was hot.
It was hot. Oh, my goodness. It really. We had a family gathering in Manitowoc County on Saturday afternoon. And it was nice. You know, at one point, we all just kind of have lawn chairs in a circle, you know, on one side of the house. Mm-hmm. And then invariably after we've had, you know, the burgers and brats or whatever, we go, all right, let's move this. And everybody grabs their chairs and we go to the other side of the house where there's a big old tree and the shade is finally hitting the lawn just right. And I got to say, it probably looks maybe not Norman Rockwellian, but right up there with, you know, here on this farm, in this front lawn, under this great big shade tree, and here's, you know, two dozen people with their lawn chairs in a circle, just talking to one another, and maybe one of the kids will be in the center of it, like one of them was chasing a little puppy all around.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
And, you know, you get to meet the new people that come in, like, a niece and a nephew who each brought in their new significant others. You know, and meanwhile, the older ones, we we're talking about our aches and pains.
Are you waving at cars as they're driving by?
Of course we are. Of course we are. And at one point, oh, I was so embarrassed. Look, I've been married into a farm family for a long time here, almost 40 years. At one point, as I'm noticing tanker after tanker after tanker go by on Highway 10, mm-hmm. I finally turned to Sherry's brother who took over the farm, and I'm like, what's in all those tankers?
You don't want to know.
He just goes, poop.
That's a new thing, though. Like, that wasn't a thing when we were younger.
It wasn't hauled away in tankers. It was, you know, loaded on a truck and you spread it on the nearby field. But now you got to truck it miles and miles away to find enough land to spread it all on because these farms are now so huge in terms of cows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not, it presents a whole other host of challenges. It's not great for the roads. There's mm-hmm. a lot of spillage that really tears up the roads. It's if you don't spread it at the right time, this liquid manure, it runs off and gets into our waterways.
Right.
So it's a whole different thing than when Grandpa would, you know, spread manure from his 40 cows in the barn.
Yes, and at mm-hmm. that point, when it would happen, you know, if you passed by a field where they had just spread, and you'd go, yeah, what is that smell? And somebody invariably would say, what? That's the smell of money. Same thing they say about the paper mills out by you, I'm sure.
Yeah, liquid manure smells different than old-fashioned manure.
Honestly, I never.
Are we really having this conversation right now?
Yeah, manure versus paper mills? Yes.
Parker's like, what?
Oh, God, guys. Guys, reel it in.
This is Wisconsin. Just go with it.
Yeah, this is what you got here.
I guess.
Know? Okay. No. So Packer training camp is underway as well. So I'm sure you sense the excitement. I doubt that you've biked down to Lambeau recently just because it's been hot and everything.
I'm going to when we're done today.
That's my plan. On another hot, hot day, you're going to bike to Lambeau today.
They have morning practice today, so I'm going to do it before it gets too hot.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. Today is also National Water Park Day, just giving away some of today's history lesson. And we were
Parker,
at a water park.
What are you doing this afternoon? Let's go to a water park.
Water park. Let's do it.
I'll meet you at Lambeau.
Yes. We were at one in Sheboygan for the weekend here again for the little kids to run around and everything. And your boys are older now. Did they have a favorite water park escape back in the day?
We loved the Great Wolf Lodge mm-hmm. in the Dells because they had not just the water park stuff, but they also had this game called Magic Quest.
Where
they had like little booths all over the place and you could like play this thing and you could get these points and they would run from booth to booth. That's how my kids roll.
See, the 3-year-old and the 6-year-old are not quite to that point yet. Though I thought one of the most adorable moments being at the Brewers game Friday is the 3-year-old, she comes running out of the team store and she's got the Italian stuffed animal for the sausage races.
Aww.
She's got the little Italian guy.
Uh-huh.
And she'd already named it Woody. I don't know why. But we were hearing about Woody was doing
Italian
all kinds
name.
Of things. Yes, but she's also 3 years old, and we were, you know, there was Doritos, and there was ice cream, and there was donuts with frosting. That poor Woody looked like he just finished a color run. I hope he washes well in the laundry, because he had a good first weekend, I tell you. So anyway, that was our water park and stadium tour for the week. I wanted to ask you about a story that's new on our website over at upnorthnewswi.com. The headline on it says, "Meet Milwaukee's new abortion clinic, its determined medical director." And for safety purposes, I would say, we don't list her full name on here. She's simply listed as Dr. A. And even then, I'm saying Dr. A, and the writer of the story says it's a woman, says she's proud that people will never be turned away for lack of funds, and talks much more about the things that are going to be happening there. And we're going to be hearing from Selena Hellard later about a woman for whom, again, abortion care is reproductive care, quite literally saved her life. And Kristen, it definitely feels like we have turned a corner. I'm not saying the work is done. It's far from done. But we have turned a corner from where we were, you know, say 2 years ago, thinking that there were Planned Parenthood was not performing any full complete slate of reproductive health services, including abortion care. There was talk that an 1849 law was going to rule us in the 21st century,
and it did for a while.
And it did for a while, and it definitely feels like patients are being treated more like patients now, and less like political pawns.
This is how it should be.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, you should be able to, regardless of who you are, you should be able to go to your doctor, tell them what your problem is, get a full exam and evaluation, have a conversation about all of your options, and choose with the expertise of your healthcare provider what the next best step is for you.
That sounds so radical. No, it should not ever sound radical.
And then you and your healthcare provider, who hopefully you trust, should be able to take that journey together so that you can make sure, so that I, as a healthcare provider, can make sure that my patient is getting the care that they need, not just now at the point of care, but for the long term. That is what health care is. But what we have done by taking abortion care out of obstetrics and gynecology is we have isolated it, and we have made it so that people have to go to certain places to get certain types of care. This clinic does a beautiful job of providing as comprehensive care as they can at that point of contact. And I am frankly really excited about the work that they're doing.
Yeah, it's called the Care for All Community Clinic. And it will provide, surgical and medication abortion care, as well as miscarriage care, to anyone with a uterus, it says here, regardless of their ability to pay, regardless of their immigration status. In the coming months, they will offer STI testing, emergency contraception, pap smears to test for cervical cancer, contraceptive counseling, gender-affirming care will also be available as well. Dr. A has been a practicing OBGYN for nearly 5 years, and again, says that she's happy that people will be cared for whatever their financial situation, which, again, should not be a radical notion. And it's not a radical notion in almost any other country in the world except here.
We all need care. I think that healthcare is the equalizer across society because we all need it. And when I think about how divided we are politically, I think the one thing that could bring us together is finding common ground around healthcare. I mean, when was the last time you talked to somebody who was satisfied with what they pay and the services that they receive?
Don't know.
Really?
Right?
Yeah, it used to be that public servants were more satisfied. But even now, I mean, my partner is a police officer, and he's timing the things that he needs to do for his healthcare in order to be able to afford it, because the deductible is so expensive. You pay so much for your premium, but then what you have to pay on top of that, it's unaffordable for most people.
And by the way, for everybody, except the very, very super rich, it's going to get worse. It's about to get worse.
A lot worse.
And you'd be like, oh, well, that's just the people on Medicaid. No. As they lose services, there's going to be more uncompensated care, which is going to jack up prices. Rural hospitals are going to close. It's going to reduce healthcare options. And again, I'm sorry to be Mr. Doom and Gloom on here, but I just want to make sure folks understand that what happened in Washington, even if they don't think they were specifically listed in the bill, they're going to feel this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just to double down on what you just said, when somebody doesn't have access to care, when they don't have insurance and they show up at a hospital, they still get care. We still are obligated to provide that care, yeah. But the hospital ends up eating that cost. And guess who ends up paying for it? All of us.
Every one of us. That's mm-hmm. right. Still ahead, we will talk more about the topic of abortion reproductive health care with Up North News reporter Selena Heller. And then later, Senator Tammy Baldwin will be along to talk about her bipartisan proposal to test to make sure rural drinking water stays clean. But first, today's history lesson is next, as we always do, mornings up north and live on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Building and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
The Buzz of the North is now your home for Milwaukee Brewers baseball.
And he struck him out swinging. Went right back to that sinker and strikes out Iglesias to strand the Mets with the bases loaded.
The Buzz of the North.
Fly ball, right field. It is deep. It is gone! We are tied in the eighth inning on the second homer of the night from Jackson Churio.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball on 96.9 WBZH, The Buzz of the North.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. After weeks of speculation, Governor Tony Evers has finally made his decision. He is not running for a third term. Evers has had an accomplished career as a dedicated public servant for 5 decades and has been a terrific governor for the state of Wisconsin these last 6+ years, and we should be grateful for his time in office. It's been a job well done. But all things must pass. In making this decision to step aside and not seek another term, Tony Evers is doing what he has done time and time again. He's doing the right thing. And perhaps in making this decision, Governor Evers can be the one to turn the tide on the Democratic Party's unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. In his own unassuming way, the mild-mannered former science teacher who became Wisconsin's governor can be an example to Democrats across the nation. Because we know what happens in Wisconsin politics often has ramifications that reach well beyond the state's borders.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported last fall that Maine voters approved ballot question 1, limiting contributions to super PACs spending money in state elections. It passed with massive voter support, but like the state's foreign influence ban, was ruled as likely unconstitutional. That's what organizers hoped would happen. The ballot question reads, do you want to set a $5,000 limit for giving to political action committees that spend money independently to support or defeat candidates for office? The act also required super PAC donors to be disclosed. A First Circuit Federal District Court ruled July 15th that both provisions violated free speech protections and pointed to the Citizens United, Buckley v. Valeo, and other past U.S. Supreme Court decisions. Harvard Law professor Lawrence Lessig argues that large contributions to PACs risk quid pro quo corruption of supported candidates, even if a candidate isn't directly speaking with the super PAC. Elon Musk's America PAC and crypto industry super PAC's support of Donald Trump are recent examples. Lessig said in 2023, when the initiative was announced, that it was designed to force the U.S. Supreme Court to answer whether contributions to super PACs can be regulated by states in the same way state candidate contributions are limited. The case will next be appealed in the First Circuit, then could reach the U.S. Supreme Court in late 2026. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Hey there, Delilah, what's it like in New York City? I'm 1,000 miles away, but girl, tonight you look so pretty. Yes, you do.
I know this is really throwing people off. Like, wait, he's not starting with like Peggy Lee from 1957 or something like that? Just seemed like a nice morning to start with the Plain White Tees and Hey There, Delilah, which was the number one song this week in 2007. That song is 18 years old already. It took 2 years. Oh, good morning, Whiskers. Selena Heller's here. And her cat, who could not get much closer to the screen here, but wants to, apparently is a Plain White Tees fan. Anyway, the song hit number one this week in 2007, 2 years after it was released, and Delilah was a real person, or is a real person, Delilah DeCrescenzo, a runner who lead singer Tom Higginson said he was trying to impress with a song at the time.
Was she impressed?
Does not say here.
There's no follow-up song.
There's no follow-up, like, let's get divorced, Delilah. No, I have no idea.
I would love to know the backstory of this, actually, now. I'm going to go on an
Delilah suddenly creeped out, like, you did what? On this day in 1854, the USS Constellation, the last all-sail warship built by the Navy, was commissioned. It is now a museum ship in Baltimore Harbor. Mary J. Blige released her debut album, What's the 411, this day, 1992. singles like this one, Real Love, You Remind Me, and More. Took the top spot on the R&B hip-hop album chart. It went to number 6 on the Billboard 200 albums chart. Her unique blend of hip-hop and soul earned her the nickname Queen of Hip-Hop Soul. Again, 33 years ago. And I still love that song and a lot of what Mary J. Blige puts out. Happy birthday to the city of Miami, incorporated this day in 1896. Okay, so Mary J. Blige's debut album came out this day in 1992. There was a release of another debut album this day in 1992 by a group called the Bare Naked Ladies.
If I had $1 million, if I had $1 million, well, I'd buy you.
I'm a big Bare Naked Ladies fan.
The debut studio album was named Gordon, and it had that single on there. On this day in 1979, an Aerosmith show finished up in Cleveland. Joe Perry got into a screaming match with Steven Tyler and quit the group. And Joe Perry would leave Aerosmith for 5 years and then rejoin the band in 1984. Let's see. This is the anniversary of the birth of guitar-songwriter George Cummings. He founded the group Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show. He wasn't the lead singer, but you do hear him on the second verse of one of their biggest hits.
Lady named a cocaine kitty who embroideries on my jeans. I got my poor old gray haired daddy.
I used to get them confused with the Doctor Whatever and Janice on the Muppet Show. Do you remember
that's
that?
Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem.
Yes.
And then there was Dr. Remember Dr. John, who had sexy eyes, was their big hit as well. So George Cummings, who passed away last December at the age of 86. He was born this day in 1938. UFC founder Dana White is 56 years old today. Soulja Boy is 45 years old today. Folk singer Jonathan Edwards was born in Aitkin, Minnesota, 79 years ago today. Here was his big 1971 hit.
Sunshine, go away today. I don't feel much like dancing.
Yeah, Jonathan Edwards, 79 years old today.
What is it about folk singers in northern Minnesota? That guy, Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's not much else to do there. Except maybe sing about the folks. I don't know. Let's see. The Summer Olympics opened in Los Angeles this day in 1984. Today is National Milk Chocolate Day.
That's a good day.
Everybody's a fan. Everybody's a fan. Whiskers strikes me as somebody who has been coated by a small child eating chocolate.
Oh, I'm sure Whiskers is coated in a lot of things. Because Emery manhandling him.
This is National Water Park Day, as I mentioned earlier. Today is World Hepatitis Day. And today is World Nature Conservation Day. Poor Kristen gets picked on every time there's a national medical day of some sort. So, Kristen, on the spot, what would you like to say about World Hepatitis Day?
I am against hepatitis.
There you go. Direct from the doctor.
Wow. Yep. What a stance.
It's a bold take.
Hey, here's something that everybody should know. If you're my age, old people like us, it should be tested for hepatitis C once in our lifetime.
There you go. See? Mm-hmm. Everything comes with a public service announcement around here.
That's right.
And I mentioned that this is World Nature Conservation Day, and author Laura Bird had that in mind when she put together the segment that we'll be hearing a little later this morning, some book recommendations that celebrate and promote a connection to nature, covering different genres and ages through books that were written by Wisconsinites and other Midwesterners, which I have not looked at the list, and I'm thinking, have I ever read a book that somehow promotes a connection to nature? And, you know, I read a little bit of a Sand County Almanac from back in the day, Aldo Leopold, but I don't know that I've got one there, and I don't know if anybody else want to offer up one that's just kind of a back to nature book. To me, it's like just reading any book is what gets me back to nature, because I can just sit there quietly and escape and read. Yes, Selena, you got your hand raised. This is
right. Yes. Do you need to be called on?
Speak up.
We know a person who wrote a book about nature. Steve Bechkel was our old photographer at WEAU, and he loves birds. He's a birder. And my name is in this book because he would he would go out while we were on stories. He would listen. We would have to sit by the side of the road and listen to birds, and he would know all of the birds by what their call is. So that's what his book is about all these bird calls and listening. And I was like, always sitting there like, what, how do you know?
By sitting there while the rest of us were, yeah, doing our thing. Two more hours on this Monday morning powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Another week of extreme weather across the country. Blisteringly hot temperatures expected in the eastern half of the country today. Showers and thunderstorms causing more than 1,000 flight cancellations on Sunday. Trade deal reached with the EU, 15% tariffs on all European goods coming into the United States. As photos of emaciated children circulate around the globe, Israel is now allowing more aid into Gaza. ABC's Jordana Miller is in Jerusalem.
It has always been a political decision to limit aid into the Gaza Strip, to look like Israel's not helping the enemy, if you will. But the Israeli army, various levels, has fought this, right? They don't want the image that they are intentionally starving Gazans.
A man who is accused of walking into a Walmart in Traverse City, Michigan, and randomly stabbing 11 people will face terrorism and attempted murder charges today. The 11 victims are all expected to survive.